This sermon will be nothing new for anybody at CI, and looks like you're all in. The information that's in here, I didn't so much prepare for you all, but for the other churches out there that are not on our side, the biggest error of Christian America. Let's stand for the reading of the scripture from Titus chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. You may be seated. At first glance of our text, the word wherefore stands out, implying that something was said beforehand. So what is wherefore, therefore? The book of Titus is one of three pastoral epistles written by Paul, giving advice to his younger colleagues in ministry. Starting in verse 10, he said, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision," that's Jews, "who must be silenced, because they are subverting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of dishonest gain. A certain one of them, a prophet of their own, said, quote, 'Cretans are always liars, wild beasts, lazy gluttons,' end quote. This testimony is true," Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Then we have the wherefore and or the therefore in some translations that begins our text, where Paul tells Titus to rebuke them severely so they may be sound in the faith, paying no attention to Jewish myths and commands of men which cause people to reject the truth. So who did Paul say were troublemakers to the church? Yes, Jews and Judaism. Therefore, as the book of Titus, this sermon too is addressed to the pastors, ministers, particularly of the Judeo-Christian churches in America. In my opinion, this is the meaning of the passage, and as Paul said, this evidence is true. We often hear in the media and talk radio the cry to, quote-unquote, support Israel, meaning support the state of Israel and the Jews in general. We also hear the ads for the Fellowship of Christians and Jews, soliciting the public for donations. This support Israel mantra gets most of its backing from Christians and churches, for they primarily teach the chosen people myth. It is crazy how our politicians have no problem sending money to any Jewish cause in the world, when in fact the tiny state of Israel gets more foreign aid from the U.S. than all other nations combined. Is this support biblical? No, and this sermon should suffice as to why. Jews claim to be the chosen people, and they call their state Israel. But just because they claim something does not mean it is true. They use the word chosen, but what happened to the equality they often speak about? To claim a chosen status automatically implies a superior status, not equality. Now, the Bible does teach a chosen or a special people status, but it is not placed on the Jews. It belongs to someone else. That's another story, as we shall see in part. The support Israel crowd claims the verse found in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, as their authority to bless the Jews. It is taught across America, far and wide. And here it is. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed," end quote. But note, this verse is taken out of context. There is no mention of Jews anywhere in this passage, nor in the whole book of Genesis. In fact, the word Jew for the first time in the Bible appears in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 6, over 1,000 years after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jews simply did not exist during Abraham's time. Shouldn't Americans be asking, quote, from where did the Jews originate, end quote? This, too, is another story. More on this later. Most ministers call Abraham a Jew without justification or scriptural evidence. Preachers refer to Moses and the children of Israel who came out of Egypt as Jews. Why? It is because they are taught to do so in their colleges and seminaries, which are controlled by Jews. The book of Exodus calls them Israelites, the house of Jacob, Hebrews, Israel, and the children of Israel. Never are any of this race called Jews. In Genesis 17:5, God promised Abraham that he would be, quote, a father of many nations, end quote. But the Jews have never formed the many nations promised him. They only make up 2% of the world's population at any given time. In Genesis 21:12, God said to Abraham, quote, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, end quote. But the Jews have never been called sons of Isaac, or Saxons, or Saxons. This verse from Genesis is also repeated in Romans 9:7 and Hebrews 11:18. Most Americans recognize the words Saxons and Caucasians, but do not know they are part of the overall Aryan or white race. They have been tricked into not seeing Israelites as white. They have no racial awareness. The false churches promote this heresy of aiding America's Jewish enemy and have confused the issue by making synonymous the words Israel, Israelite, Jew, Jewish, Hebrew, and even Shemite. The truth is that Israel, the true covenant people, are not Jewish, nor are Jews Israelites. These words are not synonymous, each having their own meaning and origin. It is amazing sometimes that you can find truth even in Jewish sources. And here's a few of them. Quote, are they not today's Jews, the inventors of the chosen people myth? Oscar Levy, preface from The World Significance of the Russian Revolution. Strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. The first Hebrews may not have been Jews at all, end quote. The Jewish Almanac by Carl Reams, Richard Siegel, Bantam Books, 1980, page 3. Quote, here's a paradox, an anthropological fact. Many Christians may have much more Hebrew Israelite blood in their veins than most of their Jewish neighbors, end quote, from Alfred Lilienthal, Jr., What Price Israel? The problem with America lies within the churches, for it is they who perpetuate the lies of the Jews, agreeing with their chosen people claim and turning a blind eye to the crimes they commit, both as a people and a state, a misnamed state, by the way. These particular people have always promoted communistic governments, such as the former USSR. Christian Americans have forgotten who they are because of this subterfuge of the Jews and the church's complicity. They have rejected the covenant of their forefathers, have made with God under the Mayflower Compact, the Articles of Confederation, and the Declaration of Independence. In this election cycle, 2024, Americans stand on the precipice of a communist takeover via Democrats. The man who opposes them deserves the Christian support. Why? Because he has been like the proverbial nail, always taking the hits from the deep state hammer, and has taken it for the people. That tells me something. If my grandchildren were to ask me, what did you do during the fall of America? I would say, I preached the gospel from the pulpit, and my voice was heard at the polls. Christians ought to be responsible and make their voices heard come time to vote. There are countries where people cannot vote but wish they could. I do not think it proper to just let your enemy have it all by not voting. Now, it is possible that the vote could be rigged, as in the past, but we do not know if this is the case at the present. Of course, they probably will be. God may still use a man like Trump to assist Christians in pushing away America from the precipice. So, vote in faith. An often heard quote comes into play here. Quote, all that is required for evil to triumph over good is that good men do nothing, end quote. We've heard the quote many times by Sir Edmund Burke. So don't let them destroy your country by not having your voice heard, at least somewhere along the line of influence. There needs to be opposition. Don't do what your enemy hopes you'll do, not vote. That will make them the happiest communists in the world. Now let's get back to the topic that Israelites are not Jews, the biggest mistake made by the ministers of America. I had previously mentioned 2 Kings 16:6, the first place in the Bible where the word Jews appears. About this time in history, language was changing, and the Jews began using Aramaic words when translating the scriptures. This word Jew, a slang term, only recently, and I'd say about 1800s or so, began to be used in the Bible. That's another story. So when Judeo-Christians say we should support Jews, we should ask, what kind of Jew are you talking about? Because Revelation 3:9 speaks of those, quote, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, end quote. So it is evident that there are true Jews and false Jews. Another point about this verse, 2 Kings 16:6, is that there is a war between Judah and Israel. If both refer to Jews, are they fighting amongst themselves? Possibly, but not likely. Is there more to this enmity that goes back to Eden? Jews in this verse refer to the men of Judah, genetic Israelites, who were driven out of Elath, while the opposition were the Edomites, or the Syrians, who took their place. Judah's war with Syria and Israel in the north made it possible for Edom and Philistia to successfully attack her from the south. Israel and Jews are not the same. Anyway, the original word that was translated Jews is the word Yehuda, Hebrew 8:3-6, a descendant of Judah. Now, we know that today's Jews of the Israelite state did not originate with the tribe of Judah. They only claim that they do. Today's Jews came from the Khazar kingdom and originally descended from Esau and his Canaanite wives, whose home was Edom. Now, while the Jews claim to be from Judah, a tribe of Israel, let us not forget that there are 11 other tribes remaining of Israelite origin. So even if, as the Jews say, that they are the covenant chosen people, then why are these other 11 tribes rejected as the covenant people of God? And who are they? They must be somewhere in the world. Who could they be? It is us, the Caucasian race. And named such because of their migration across the Caucasus Mountains many years after their deportation by Assyria. So actually, we are not rejected. The Jews are the ones rejected because Esau despised the covenant. God said, quote, and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons and of the wilderness, end quote, Malachi 1:3. In Genesis 22:17, God promised Abraham that his descendants would be immeasurable. Quote, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, end quote, Genesis 24:60. It says that Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was promised to, quote, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, end quote. At the time of King David, there were over 15 million Israelites. According to Wikipedia, the world population is over 8 billion. Global religious affiliation of Judaism, that's Jews, is 14 to 18 million. What? After 3,000 years since David, there's hardly any difference in the Jewish population? Yet most ministers insist that the 14 to 18 million are all of Israel. How can that be? In case you're curious, Christianity is over 2,300 million people. These false ministers must not be identifying who true Israel is. They must have lost the other tribes, and the Jews are all that's left. What an insult to God. True ancient Israelites are not Jews, and Jews are not of Israel. Jeremiah wrote about a new covenant in chapter 31. Quote, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. End quote from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33. Hebrews chapter 8 also quotes this prophecy about Israel becoming a Christian people. But the false preachers of the Judeo-Christian churches claim that this did not work with God's people, the Jews. Instead, a Gentile race somehow just happened to accept the new covenant. Sounds like a reasonable theory, but there is no scriptural evidence to support it. And I ask, how can someone accept a new covenant when that person has not already received the old covenant? It's impossible. Is God not sovereign? This teaching makes God a failure in keeping his own covenant with Abraham, which Scripture says is everlasting. It also makes the words of his Son, Jesus Christ, void and meaningless, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, from Matthew 10:6. The Judeo churches insist that Jesus came to the Jews. But Jesus said to them, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, end quote from John 10:26-27. We should ask, who are the sheep that have followed him for the past 2,000 years? Who have built thousands of church buildings, cathedrals, and other benevolent enterprises in the cities of the Western world? The answer is obvious: God's family, the former Israelites. Hosea prophesied to the house of Israel before they went into captivity. Quote, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God, end quote, Hosea 1:10. Israel was split into two kingdoms after the death of Solomon: Israel the northern house and Judah the southern house. In punishment for Israel's sins, God divorced her, but he did not divorce Judah. The Assyrians, in multiple invasions beginning around 734 BC, took Israel captive to the east, and they were lost to Bible history. and see this in 2 Kings 18:11. But secular history records that millions of the white race appeared suddenly in the same area. As circumstances changed, they migrated across the Caucasus Mountains, always moving westward and finally settling across Europe. So, quote, in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said, you are the sons of the living God, end quote. What place or places? They became the Christian people who settled Europe, America, South Africa, and Australia. Places where we are told we are not God's people, but it is manifested by the millions that we are the sons and daughters of God. Although God divorced Israel with the death of his son, she was married again by the new covenant, thus uniting all the tribes of Israel, not everyone on earth. About the time the house of Judah was destroyed in 586 BC by the king of Babylon, the prophet Jeremiah prophesied to the house of Israel, quote, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, end quote, Jeremiah 51:20. Since that time, have the Jews destroyed the pagan kingdoms? No. Have the Jews established Christian rulership among the nations? Are you kidding me? They always work to destroy Christianity. The prophet Isaiah asked the questions, quote, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? End quote from Isaiah 68. What race of people have invented flight and fly most of the world's airliners and military planes? Quote, the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, Isaiah 60 and 5. What race built the shipping and fishing industries and pull oil out of the sea? Notice this blessing given to Joseph through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Quote, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph. End quote from Deuteronomy chapter 33, 13 through 16. Did you notice this prophecy is speaking of his land, Joseph's land? Isn't it separate from the rest of Israel? Joseph's descendants were to have great material wealth and protection. Only one race of people have always had abundant harvests and digs minerals out of the earth to convert it into the things we use today to make life easier. What people have worshipped and prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob down through the centuries, while other races sit in darkness? Why are only white nations known as Christian nations? God says in Psalm 147, verse 19, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. God says this of his covenant people, not Jews or any other race. The statutes and judgments is the Bible that millions of the white race use every week in church and at home. It only applies to them, elect Israel. Jesus said, quote, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, quote, from Matthew 15:24. Was the mission of Jesus Christ a failure and a farce? The false preachers of the Judeo churches seem to make it so. Now some Jewish origins. Genesis 28:9 tells us, Quote, "Then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael." Genesis 36, the main chapter on Esau's genealogy, adds, in verse 2, "Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Halobama, the daughter of Anna, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Basemath, Ishmael's daughter," end quote. These descendants of Esau came to be known as Ishmaelites, Canaanites, Hittites, and Hivites, the same people that God later commanded Israel not to marry. Collectively, we know them as Edomites. Edom means red, after the red pottage of Genesis 25:30. A few centuries later, when God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, Numbers chapter 20 tells us that the first people to fight the children of Israel were the Edomites. All the historical books of the Bible speak of the enmity and war between Israel and Edom, that's Jews. The Exodus Israelites were never called Jews. Only the Israelites of the house of Judah, 500 years later, were called Jews from the name Judah, which we also see in 2 Kings 16:6, which properly should be termed Judahites. Coming down to near the time of Christ, we find that Flavius Josephus states that the Edomians, that's Edomites, became part of Jewry. This explains why some Jews believed in Jesus the Christ and other Jews hated him. Those who believed were simply the ones of Israelite ancestry, while those who hated him were of Edomite genetics. Even the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1925, volume 5, page 41, states that Edom is modern Jewry, end quote. H.G. Wells, in his Outline of History, verifies that thousands of years ago, the Edomites became Jews. He then goes on to explain that these Edomians joined with a Turkish people of southern Russia, that's the Khazars, who also became Jews. He concludes, quote, "The main part of Jewry never was in Judea and had never come out of Judea," end quote. The Funk and Wagnalls Jewish Encyclopedia has a map showing the religions of Europe in the 10th century. An area north of the Black Sea is marked Jews, Khazars. The two words are used interchangeably. Colonel John Beattie writes in his book, Iron Curtain Over America, quote, "As time passed, it came about that these Khazar people of mixed non-Russian stock, who hated the Russians and lived under Babylonian Talmudic law, became known in the Western world from their place of residence and legal religious code as Russian Jews," end quote. Thousands of these non-Israelite Jews migrated to America before 1880, and millions have come since then. Professor Roland B. Dixon of Harvard wrote in 1923, quote, "The most important single factor, however, in the differentiation of these Jews of the Asiatic borderland was the conversion to Judaism in the 8th century of the Khazars. In these," that's the Khazars, "we may in all probability see the origin of the great mass of the East European Jews of today," end quote. In Harmsworth's History of the World is a section on, quote, "the Hebrew peoples," written by Dr. H. Winkler, L.M. King, Dr. R.G. Brandis, and H.R. Hall. On pages 1781 through 4, volume 3, they show that, quote, "Judaism was not evolved in Judah. It was in Babylon that Judaism first became that which it was and still is," end quote. In other words, Judaism, rather than being the religion of ancient Israel, as the Judeo ministers tell their flocks, is the religion of Israel's ancient enemy, Babylon. The authors also say that the distinction between Israel and Judah, quote, can best be expressed in the phrase, which may sound paradoxical, but yet aptly characterizes the true relationship of the two people. The Israelites were not Jews, end quote. My conclusion, history is replete with the error that Jews are the chosen of God, but the Bible reveals a different story. In spite of the fact that Jews altered it via the Masoretic text, I would dare say that there is not one minister, priest, or pastor who has not heard of Martin Luther, for he played a major role in church history, and that is, of course, part of their education. Luther warned Christians about the deceitful character of the Jews, and even wrote the small book about them, quote, On the Jews and Their Lies, end quote. Our Lord Jesus also called them liars, and Luther said of the Jews, quote, I will give you my true counsel, first that we avoid their synagogues and schools and warn people against them. And such should be done to the glory of God and Christendom, that God may see that we are Christians and have not knowingly tolerated such lying, cursing, and blaspheming of his Son and his Christians, end quote. And there's another quote. Therefore, know, my dear Christian, that next to the devil, you have no more bitter, more poisonous, more vehement an enemy than a real Jew who earnestly desires to be a Jew. Scripture reveals that the two seeds of the serpent and of the woman are at enmity, and there is no concord between God and the devil. This is also found in gross form in their writings and prayer books, end quote from Martin Luther. Well, it appears that Christian identity is more Lutheran than the Lutherans. If these Judeo-Christian ministers are truly followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, then they should accept this rebuke and correct their teaching. For Judeo-Christianity is false. This short sermon is only part of the evidence proving that Israel and the Jews are not the same. John wrote to the church at Philadelphia, quote, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews, or this should be Judahites, and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet and learn that I have loved you, Israel. Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 and 9.